Hell yeah, we can challenge for a league title.
What's up, TFOs? Danny Brams here in the house with another beautiful pre-match day preview for Charlotte FC, getting ready to take on Orlando. We got a great guest in the house. I just got done talking to Dean Smith, and things are not looking good. Dino, as always, in fine form at the press conference, had a few things to say, gave an injury update that we'll be talking about with our guest, talked about some of the mistakes, and he had to, of course, get this little soundbite in, classic Dino here.
Yeah, it's quite ironic that the most foul player in the league gets suspended, isn't it, for delaying the restart. Pretty ironic.
Quite ironic. Wilf Zaha suspended for Charlotte FC against Orlando. That's going to lead to some changes, obviously, on the front line. We will talk about that. But let's get to the guest, because I was walking around on social media, as you do, checking out the scene, checking out the post, checking out everything that was going on. And I saw this post pop up on my old timeline from good friend Andrew Wiebe, MLS commentating legend. He said he's driving cross country. He said, man, I really miss podcasting. You know, used to host the Extra Time podcast with his buddies on MLS. And I said, well, Wiebe, we can fix that. We'll invite you to our podcast. Welcome, Andrew Wiebe, to Charlotte Soccer Show. Thanks for coming in today, man.
Of course. It seems like that was a flypaper. You know, I just threw the flypaper up on Twitter and just see what comes in. I do miss podcasting. I miss just kind of spilling my guts every single week, and hugely appreciative to be on the Charlotte Soccer Show, and also inspired, I have to say, by the intro music and montage. It felt, as a child of the 90s, it felt a little bit like, I don't know, like a 90s sitcom, like a little bit of a Full House, like we're all in this together and we've got hope and positive vibes because it's the 90s. I really enjoyed that. Really brought the spirits up, I think, for this. And we might need that talking about Charlotte these days.
Yeah, well, hopefully everywhere we look, there's a hand to hold on to for Charlotte FC for sure. If we're talking about 90s intros. And has the crown hit rock bottom? Let's get right into it, because Charlotte FC is on a massive, horrible losing streak, Andrew. And this is a squad that had high hopes of maybe top four, maybe even winning the East, maybe even thinking Supporters Shield. At the beginning of May, they were sitting on top of the standings, and things have gone very south very quickly. What's your overall impressions of the crown before we dig in on some of the get in the weeds with them?
Well, I don't want to pat myself on the back here, Danny. I'm going to do it anyway. I was on this MLS, and you can watch that on the MLS YouTube page every Wednesday and Friday at noon. If there's games on Wednesday night, it won't be on, but it'll be on Friday and Wednesday and Friday. And we were asked when they were first place, is this sustainable? Are they going to hold on to this position? And I said on that show, hit the brakes. Slow down, because so many of our folks in studio, so many of the fans, all the people watching the league were like, this is it. I mean, Charlotte is going to contend for the Shield. They're going to be atop the East. And I said, look, they got 8 of the next 10 games on the road. They are not a good road team. This is the moment. This is when metal gets tested. Are you an elite team? Because, listen, in Major League Soccer, the baseline expectation to be a playoff team, and let's just say that, you know, for the sake of argument, that is 5 through 9. Like, you're in the playoffs. You're not one of the best teams. You're in the playoffs. You got to win your home games. But to be in the top four, to truly be elite, you have got to find a way to pick up points on the road. And if I'm not mistaken, it's, what is it, 8 losses in the last 10? And I think all but one of those road games is a loss. And so, look, the wheels fell off. There's no doubt. I saw it coming. But what I will say,
they're not even getting draws. They're losing matches.
Correct. And doing so in ways that I think really has to frustrate not just Dean Smith, but everyone on this squad, because what felt like certainty with this team of what you were going to get doesn't quite feel that way right now. But I think it is rock bottom. And I actually would say that rock bottom is a positive for Charlotte, because when you hit rock bottom, you don't go farther. Like, that is the bottom. There is only one way to go from there. And we're looking at 3 straight home games for this team. They are still a very, very good home team. They need to find a little confidence. They need to find a little bit of belief, and they need to somehow, some way, get out of their system these defensive errors that have just been absolutely ravaging them. Because I don't think the overall performances are terrible. The results are, and that's a really distinct difference.
Yeah, and let's go. That is what has happened to the Charlotte defense is the question. This is a squad that built its reputation on clean sheets. I put this little graphic together. People can check my math on this, but I just, while I was getting ready for the show, I just sort of counted the goals allowed per match month by month. And as you can see, they started the season really strong, had a great April where they kept a bunch of clean sheets. And then now they're conceding two plus, nearly three goals a game in May and June since then. So what has happened to the defense is the question. And I think injuries have been an issue, but injuries don't explain away some of the stuff we've been seeing against what we saw against Chicago, right? Just Andrew Privet getting olayed. Wilf Zaha can't chase Zinkernagel down. Deflections going in past Kalina. Milanda making horrible back passes. What have you seen? Is this a thing that was inevitable? I want to ask you, Andrew, as a longtime MLS watcher. My take is that eventually the goals start flying in MLS and you can't make your bones on defense forever. What do you think?
I don't think I can agree with you on that point. I think there's sort of a volume issue for Charlotte this year in that they're just allowing more opportunities. And when you allow teams more opportunities, there are more chances for errors, more chances for deflections, more chances to just have a screw up happen. And that's what we're seeing. It's not just this Chicago game. I rewound it back a couple games preparing to come on this podcast. And if you watch that Sporting Kansas City game, like Privet has a chance to clear a ball over the top, eventually falls to Mason Toy. If he clears that ball, they probably win that game. You know, and the same token, you know, both Milanda and Privet go to, you know, I think it was Toy who provided the ball. It might have been Daniel Shallowey, but either way, you've got Dan Jovlich sitting at the back post in the 97th minute, nobody around him. What are we doing here? And rewind it back again, like the Philadelphia game. Jesus Bueno hit a worldie. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, listen, those things happen, accept it, move on. But that goal by Marcus Anderson, the three balls before it reaches his foot are all essentially 50-50 opportunities for Charlotte, not just to win a ball, but just to disrupt Philadelphia in any way. And there is this sort of passivity that I'm not used to seeing from Charlotte in the final third, and certainly not under Dean Smith. So, listen, I think there's a volume issue. If you look at the XG allowed in the Eastern Conference, Chicago Fire are worst. Guess who's second worst? Charlotte,
yeah.
Charlotte. And so that to me just says that there's volume happening that didn't happen in the past. Teams are getting into better positions. And then you're asking yourself over and over and over to defend in those positions. And man, that's where errors come from. It's just repetition and mental and physical, fatigue. So I do think personnel has been an issue, and you could probably speak to that much better than I can. But like losing Nathan Byrne, I think had a you know, there's a domino effect to that as well. Mm-hmm. Having Tim Ream be gone for the Gold Cup and just, you know, having that one less guy to make a change at center back. And then there seems to have been some changes around the left back position as well and some rotations. So yeah, I think it's kind of a perfect storm here, but a lot of those are just mental. It's really just comes down to a decision-making process and then executing. And listen, your structure can be good and those things can still go awry.
Yeah, well, we have a saying around here, Andrew. We say this on almost every show. Dino's at the wheel. We believe in Dino. So just moments ago, let's get hot off the old edit bay. A soundbite that he gave talking about how the team deals with mistakes. And you tell me what you think of this approach.
One of the things I always do is in this room, you know, we go through the big things that I believe have influenced the game. So, you know, big chances, goals, different tactics of the games, and ask the players what they're thinking at that time, you know, because it's hard for me to coach them if I don't know what they're thinking. So, you know, it's asking that question, you know, Addy, for instance, you know, what was you thinking at that moment? Well, the ball was spinning, so I didn't think I could clear it left foot. So I didn't see the lad inside. That's why I passed it back to the goalkeeper. So he's got a reason, you know, why he did it. Is it the correct reason? Obviously not. You know, but he has to learn from that. You know, then I'll ask the question, you know, okay, people who are in close proximity to him, how can you help him? Well, we can tell him. We can say, we can scream, it's got to go, you know? So that's the kind of thing where we'll work with the players to actually find solutions to problems they've had.
I mean, I love the quote. I love the quote from Dean. And the reason being is that, you know, when you manage an MLS, you are not always going to have the final product. You know, there are plenty of players in this league that, you know, bring him in. We signed you a DP. We signed him on TAM. Look, Pep Biel, your quality is unquestioned. Zaha, quality unquestioned. You know, a guy like Nathan Byrne, a guy like Tim Ream, a Kalina. Like, hey, get the best out of these guys in your team. But to be a great team in MLS, you have to develop players. Like, look at Milanda and look at Privet, your two center backs. Those are not guys that walked into this league as finished products. Those are not guys that, you know, if you didn't pay attention to and coach and support in tough moments that were going to make the massive leaps that you need to be a Supporters Shield winning team or to be a top four team in the East. So I give a huge amount of credit to Dean Smith, and I understand why, you know, and Dino you trust and the sort of that rallying call, because there are a lot of foreign managers that have come to this league and struggled with that, with working their way through mistakes by players, with helping players correct those mistakes. And, you know, I would say look at the top two teams in the league right now in both conferences, in the Philadelphia Union and on the flip side, the Vancouver Whitecaps. Those are teams that are not full of finished products. Those are teams that over multiple seasons, whether it was under the current regime and Carnell and Sorensen or previous regimes, and have coached their guys up. And so that's the process Dean's in now. And does May, June, and July matter? Absolutely. But, you know, I think what Dean would tell you is this is frustrating. I don't like it. The players don't like it. But what we really need to figure out is how to eliminate the mistakes now, taper it off, and then hopefully come playoff time, everybody's in a good rhythm and roll. But I love that quote. I think, you know, I it's easy to be the guy that's like, screw this, they're messing up, it's the player's fault. It's a lot harder to say, listen, here's the process and how we get better, and well, now let's go do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great to hear. I love that. And that fills me with confidence just hearing you say that. And I'm glad you shouted out Privet. I got one more soundbite from Dean from this afternoon's press conference, because we do have some injury issues that involve Andrew.
Oh, boy.
This might be something that we can use as we start to preview what's going on with Orlando.
We've got a couple of injuries. Dumbia came off with a hamstring injury. It's not as bad as the last one, but it will put him out for this game. Privet's not trained since the Chicago game. He's had some hip flexor problems. So he's doubtful as well for the game. So, you know, certainly defensively, we're bare bones at the moment.
Not good. Privet doubtful, Dumbia out, Ream gone, Burn still out. I mean, we're looking at Bill Tualoma. They talked about calling up Jack Neely from Crown Legacy as a potential cover. So I think Tualoma probably looks to start if Privet doesn't. It's not looking good with Orlando coming in as a goal-scoring team. Orlando's a team that scores a lot of goals, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's tough for any team. You're basically down, and this is sort of weird to call Bill Tualoma your fourth center back. I mean, that's a right, blessing exactly. In some ways. Like, he's a veteran. Yeah. He's a guy that was brought in to ostensibly be a starter based on the number that he was brought in on and just never seemed to quite work. So, look, Bill's biggest strength, I think, is on the ball. And then he's really good sort of on balls in behind him, just, you know, matching a striker in terms of pace and physicality. But that's hard because he hasn't gotten a ton of reps with these top players in the center back position. So I no excuses. Like, I'm sure Dean doesn't care. I'm sure the fans don't care. Like, you've had to live on the road for 8 out of 10 games. You're home. You have 3 straight home games, Charlotte. Like, there are no excuses. The best teams in the league can't afford to make them. They just get results. And so while I agree that it's really difficult, while I agree that you got to go down the depth chart, I mean, you got to find a way to get it done. But the wingers for Orlando and those strikers, depending on who it is, are really going to test you. And listen, that's what good teams do. They pass those tests.
Yeah. It's funny that you said no excuses, because that's exactly what I had on my next graphic. No Ajabong, no Zaha, no excuses. It's time for Charlotte to go out and win. It doesn't really matter what the depth issues are, what the injury issues are, who's not there, who's missing. Dean was criticizing, you know, MLS playing during the Gold Cup today like he always does. But it's just no excuses. And I know we talk about one of the reasons I'm so happy to have you on the show is you're the creator of the meme, the Ajabong hype. And it's been adopted by everyone here locally. We are loving everything we're seeing from Big Pat. It's weird as a Charlotte fan to see him sort of come into the crosshairs of what I call the toxic U.S. men's national fan base, and they're just going to criticize whoever is the striker. But no Ajabong for Orlando. He's playing with the U.S. You created the hive. Talk to us about Pat here, because we are running short on time, and I don't want to take too much of your time, but I need to hear you talk about Patrick Ajabong.
Listen, I could stick around if you need me to, so keep that in mind. I love Pat. Right, I've loved him since I called his name in the draft. It was an honor for many years to host the draft and to be the one that gave these guys the news in real time of where they were going and where they were being selected. And when I was doing the prep for Patrick Ajumon's draft, my biggest concern is always that I want to have that moment not have any asterisks for those guys. And I think one of the biggest asterisks is someone whose name is consistently mispronounced is hearing your name in a big moment, but it's not your name. You know, somebody pronouncing it wrong. If they were, you know, if I was getting drafted and somebody said, "Hey, Andrew Wiebe is taken by, you know, Charlotte Football Club," to me, that's unacceptable. And so I couldn't find a good pronunciation for Ajumon, and I tracked him down. I think I DM'd him on Twitter, And I got him to send me a voice message. And I just loved the trajectory of his career, of him having to bet on himself and grinding and going through situations and environments where, you know, a lot of people give up or decide I don't got it, or I can't make it, or don't put in the work necessary to get to the next level. Like, I love the guys that grind and grind and work and find their way to a new spot to elevate, to succeed. And, you know, I know that like a Michael Bradley, for instance, it's a different case. Like, his reputation, he had a bigger sort of starting point in terms of his background. But that's why I always loved Michael, is it was, okay, I started MLS in a place that nobody else is doing it as a teenager. I make a jump. I go to Holland and then, you know, Germany and England and all these different places, learn languages, progress, better myself, and increase my game. And that's what I felt Pat did, and that's why I love him. You know, he's sort of a guy that nobody else was thinking could do it, but he had to believe, and now look at him. He's probably going to be sold for, you know, almost 8 figures, and he's going to, you know, his dream is likely going to come true in the sense that he's going to make this big move ahead of the World Cup, and hell, he might even make that World Cup team. He might even start a World Cup game. And imagine that. Imagine that the moment he gets hears his name on the Super Draft. I just think he's got a great personality, a great game, and we're just scratching his potential.
Yeah, we love him. $1 million smile, the hold-up play, the ability to have control over himself at such a large size.
Keep it rolling, man. I'm chilling.
We'll bring up another tweet here if I can get it. Technical difficulty there for a second. But you said, meanwhile, you were tweeting about the Super Draft just the other day. Ajimong on his way to being sold for nearly 8 figs. Was saying today how much I missed the whole league gathering for those Super Draft days and the hotel bar scene. Oh, tell me about this hotel bar scene.
Oh my gosh. The hotel bar scene back when the Super Draft was an in-person event at the coaches convention. And we would end up in places that, you know, essentially you end up in places that nobody else wants to go in the month of January, because you're getting these huge hotel blocks and a massive convention center, because the Super Draft is just one small part of this giant gathering of coaches at all levels from all over the country. And so we would end up in places like Indianapolis, you know, and God bless, I love Kansas City, but Kansas City, you know, in January, it's not exactly Shangri-La. Mm-hmm. And all the teams would be there, and their entire technical staffs would be there, from the coach to all the assistants to the GM. All the journalists would obviously go there as well. The entire league would go, because we had this entire production to put on and everybody's trying to promote and get anything out of it. And so the hotel bar was just all these people. I mean, it was truly like the Star Wars cantina. and you have, you know, the crew are over there, DC are over there, all the coaches are mingling. If you're a journalist, you're getting to talk to and create relationships with all these different people, let alone see each other and network in that way. And it was just like a 3 or 4 day, you know, it was a party in the sense that it was a celebration and you're working your, you know what, off during the day, mm-hmm. but at night when it's time to have dinner and, you know, have a nightcap, everybody ends up in the hotel bar where they're all staying. And you're just sort of looking around saying, well, it's a who's who of anybody that matters. It was a place to pick up information. It was a place to just see and be seen. And I think it was a place to celebrate and connect with everybody, from PR staffs to marketing groups to social media, across the board. And man, those were fun days. Those were really, really enjoyable.
Yeah, it's you know, we all want the league to grow and get bigger and raise the profile, but sometimes you do miss, you lose out on some of those little charming things that were available.
The combine was the same way. Everybody, okay. And it was honestly even perhaps even better, because you go to Fort Lauderdale. Good. Yeah, you get the beach, sand, and you know, everybody's still there. They're relaxed. Season hasn't started yet. The pressure's not on. So, yeah, man, those were fun days. We still have great moments like that now, but it's when the league's 30 teams, it's harder to get everybody together in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, let's get into a little bit of the game preview here, just because we are facing Orlando. We have no Ajimong. That's going to be an issue, but we do have a replacement. We have Edan Toklamadi, and this is a great scouting job by Zoran Crneta and the Charlotte FC front office, going to get this guy, bringing him in on sort of hiding the money on Crown Legacy last year. And now he's able to fill in. And if Ajimong is to be sold, you know, until he's replaced, all of a sudden Toklamadi's a starting striker. This kid is good, and we have a lot of fun with him. What have you seen when you've watched him play?
I completely agree. I think he is ready for a bigger role within this team. And that's why if I was a Charlotte fan, I wouldn't be freaking out about the fact that Ajimong seems like he's likely to be sold. And listen, likely can change quickly. I know they've talked for a long time about contract and, you know, who knows what will happen and once the transfer window opens, but this is not the worst thing in the world. Like if you pull in $8 million and you're able to cash a ton of allocation money as, and as well as I would assume more money in sort of the transfer kitty to go out and find a more veteran designated player striker. But Toklamadi's got a real feel in the box for where space is and how to sort of either create it himself, as you saw in that goal, if you're watching, or how to manipulate it with his movement. He just understands angles and timing, and he just seems to be getting better. The thing I like the most about him is not the finishes. It's not the actual goals. It's just the volume of chances that he has gotten on when he's on the field. I'm an analytics guy, but I'm also an eye guy. And when I watch, I see that, but then I like to go back and check. His XG per 90 is absurd. Like I think he's second on the team in XG, and that's in about 600 minutes. So listen, things will change once more tape is on you. Things will change if you're asked to do it for 90 minutes against, you know, fresh defenders every single game. But he has got a knack for putting the ball in the back of the net. And I feel like, listen, in the short term, it's a great solution with Pat gone. In the medium term, I do think Charlotte will want to bring in sort of a bigger, more veteran force. But, you know, depth is a great thing. And who knows, the way Toklamadi's playing, maybe he goes the way of Pat Adjumon in a year and a half as well.
Yeah, he's really fun to watch. Again, I do kind of go to, like, if they do sell Adjumon, it's like, well, you sell Adjumon to buy what? A player that's like Adjumon. It's like you already have the thing that you want to go get. So I don't know, but I guess you do have to take profits.
I think it's more of a finished product if you're going to go do that.
Or yeah,
it's
hopefully
a,
they
or
will.
It's a center, maybe a center midfielder. Like when I say finished product, I love Pat, but like I think he has some progress to make in terms of his recognition of space and like the run that he makes to exploit that space, and then just some of the composure within the box. Like the thing you have to remember with him, and it's a part and parcel of his path, is, you know, a lot of guys at 24. You know, who was I looking at? Oh, well, like a Jesus Ferrer, even. I was checking Jesus Ferrer because I'm preparing for Sunday Night Soccer. The amount of professional games that Jesus Ferreira has played at 24 compared to Patrick Adjumon, like there's like a 200 game difference. Yeah. And that's not just games. That's training sessions. That's all these different moments of accumulated experience. That's a World Cup. Mm-hmm. So Pat is still a baby, you know, right, in terms of his experience level. And that's also what excites you, is that like, you got to think that there's another level that he can go to. I would just think if Charlotte was going to sign a striker to come in either over or equal with Toklamadi, it's got to be somebody that Dean Smith feels is less of a project, more of a finished product that elevates the overall group.
Yeah, and I they don't necessarily have to sign a striker. We talked about Toklamadi. Maybe they could use those profits on a DP in the midfield or something like that. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I mean, exactly what they want to do. Well, I want to get a little bit into what you do, Andrew, because, like, again, we're very honored to have you on here. One of the things you do weekly that fans love to celebrate you or hate you for is Instant Replay. And this is a weekly show on MLS website, on YouTube, MLS's YouTube channel, that just, you break down referee calls, and you always put out the call after every game week. You say, hey, send me your controversial calls and I'll break them down. Tell us a little bit about the process and what can people do. What are you looking for from fans? Do you think people bitch about the refs too much? I mean, where are you at with all that? Let's talk about it.
Listen, I think refereeing is a really difficult job. And part of the bargain in refereeing, part of the bargain in being the arbiter and having your opinion sort of decide big moments in matches, is that other people are going to have opinions. Like, and I think referees would tell you that. They know that. They accept that. I think there's a big difference between criticizing or analyzing and abusing. And so that's what I would just say to fans. Like, if you're out here to criticize and analyze, you could say all day long, I think that's a terrible call and I don't agree with it. I would recommend to you, go get the laws of the game, study up, make sure that you can actually justify your opinion, because you need to think like a referee if you truly want to criticize them. That's all fine. I think referees embrace that. I mean, listen, in those rooms at Pro, when they're looking at calls on a weekly basis and there's arguments, those men and women are not all agreeing with each other. There is not a 100% yes, this is the right call on every single play. There is gray area. And that's what I love about refereeing, is that, you know, you can, it's sort of like being an attorney. You know, you can take the laws and now you got to apply them. And now you've got to interpret what you saw and try to use the verbiage within the laws and understand them to then apply them. And it's a really interesting exercise. So as far as the process goes, I'm watching as much soccer as I can every single weekend. But my God, Danny, there's just no way that I could see every single possible controversial moment. And that's why I rely on fans and on other folks within MLS to help me out and flag things. All I'm asking for You don't have to give me a brief description of the call. Just give me, you know, that's nice. Hey, I think this should have been a red card. This looked like a handball, blah, blah, blah. Give me the game and the time. Even if it's just 71st minute, even if it's, you know, whatever, right after this, give me something where I can go back and find it, because I don't have the ability to scrub through 90 minutes. I need to go find that play. I need to analyze it, and I need to get that opinion down. So that's how they can help. And I just, again, would just emphasize, maybe you're not a referee nerd like me. Just go read Law 12. Just read Law 12, which is, you know, the foul. And just familiarize yourself with that, so that when you see a call and when you're complaining to your buddy on the bar stool next to you, or you're yelling at the TV screen at home, you have a feel for why that referee might have made that decision. I think it goes a long way. And that's my goal with the show, is that when you watch a play, you're not thinking, terrible call. You're thinking, oh, well, is it reckless? Is it excessive? Where was the contact? What was the context? How does the law apply? I mean, the more educated we can be, the more fun we can have with it.
Know the laws, timestamps, think like a ref.
You don't have to know the laws. Just know the timestamps.
Read the laws. Read Law 12. Read Law 12. Yeah.
Know the timestamp, and I'll help you out on the back end. How about that? I'll explain it for you.
I love it. Well, we mentioned this off the top. We said you really miss podcasting, and that was the bat signal that got you invited on every MLS fan cast around the nation. But let's talk a little bit about the Extra Time podcast that you hosted for, I believe, 15 years with a couple of your buddies. And
yeah, I was the host for more like 12, okay. I think 10, 11 or 12, but it existed for 15. I mean, it's a long-standing deal.
It was a favorite podcast of so many MLS fans. And just maybe what did it? I've seen you and Matt Doyle and folks kind of lamenting, oh, we missed doing Extra Time. How do we bring it back? What can we do to bring this thing back, man?
Well, I mean, I would say support soccer wise for one, because you got some Extra Time alumni doing that thing. You know, I'm always whispering at MLS, hey, I'd love to do this again. I love podcasting. Like, you know, every good thing comes to an end, and Extra Time came to an end, and it was a really wonderful run. And the reason I loved it so much is, you know, I just like talking about the game. I like thinking about the game. I like arguing about the game. I like being challenged. I like learning. And I just felt like on that show, I was always learning and immersed with not just the biggest stories in Major League Soccer. Certainly we were always covering those, but every little nook and cranny that we could find. You know, that's talking about a Patrick Agyeman before he was a big deal, a Max Arfston before he was a big deal, and just really sort of living the rhythms of an MLS season together. And I'm sure that all your listeners feel the same thing about your show, Danny, is that there's something in having a community and something in having a place to sort of come together and hear about the things you love, but also have these sort of friendships that may not be in person all the time, but are kind of, you know, it's like, the reason I tweeted that is because I was driving cross country listening to the No Laying Up podcast, because I love golf. Mm-hmm. And the reason I love that show is because it feels like four or five guys who are buddies just talking about the things that they love. And we always tried to have that be Extra Time. So Extra Time for me was like, it was like hanging out with your friends twice a week for 4 hours, because we would tape the show. We had a long pre-meeting, and then we're talking to each other afterwards. It was just an enforced hangout time with your friends. And as an adult, boy, that's like some secret sauce, right? Yeah. Like, we all got busy lives. We all have all these things that we have to be committed to and need to pour our energy into. But twice a week, we were forced to just sit down and BS and talk about the thing we loved. And that was a privilege and an honor. And you know, someday I hope to be able to do it again, but I will always celebrate all those years and all that fun and all those memories, because it truly was the honor of a lifetime.
Yeah. And I totally agree. You can't fake chemistry. The very best podcasts are the ones where just that you're listening to people talk about anything that you're interested in, and they are good friends with each other. You can't beat that formula. Johnny, my co-host on this show, Johnny, he's usually unavailable for these interview episodes. So I'm out here flying alone. And I'm just like, where's Johnny? Johnny would be backing me up with much better questions to ask than I can.
Well, you know, it's like sitting at the bar with, you sit with your buddy. That's awesome. You sit with your two best friends, that's even better. You get you know, like, you start adding people and perspectives and experiences and relationships and all the different spider webs that stretch between those and the inside jokes that come out of those. And, you know, that really is, I mean, for me, like, the secret sauce of life enjoyment is relationships with other people. And so, that's the part that's great. And listen, the group chat is still firing. We still see each other all the time. I just had a beach day with producing Anders and Tommy Scoops, and and nice. Doyle, and we were sad that Goss and Kalen couldn't make it, but we're rooting each other on in life all the time and in soccer as well. And, you know, those friendships will never be broken.
And you have new, obviously you've been killing it with ABBA this year. You do the interviews on Sunday Night Soccer. If anyone has missed what you did last week with Wilfred Nancy, if you're a soccer fan, especially an MLS fan, I would highly recommend anyone go back and check that, even if you don't like the Columbus Crew. But great work on Apple. I hope you're finding like sort of a new chemistry and new friendships and new relationships.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. No, absolutely. And then I think it's so invigorating and thrilling to be a part of one, you know, Apple TV and the productions for these 3 years so far. Like, that's a dream come true for me in every single way. To be in the studio for the last 2 years was just an absolute thrill. And now to be on Sunday Night Soccer is one of those things where you feel like you won the lottery in a way, like a pioneer. You know, like we always sat around and talked about how we needed a game like this, a game branded like this, a game where the whole league could kind of have communion together. You know, like you might for Monday Night Football, or, yep, you know, for the different baseball games on ESPN that I grew up watching. You knew on that night you were going to sit down and watch baseball. Or you're going to, hey, the big football game is going to be at this time. We can all set our clocks around it. MLS needed that. And I think so far it's been a huge success. And I'm just super blessed to be a small part of that success. And I give a ton of thanks to Jake and Taylor for welcoming me into their team they'd been doing this together for a while now and really, really killing it. And welcoming me in and teaching me and helping me understand the live, the game production side of things, because I'd mostly been in the studio prior to that. And then a huge shout out to the producer of the show, Brad Martell, who another KC guy, but has really helped me understand where and how I can be at my best on his show and on the production. And I think, you know, I said in a previous interview about Sunday Night Soccer, like, you know, I feel like I'm finger painting. And that was very early in the season. And I feel like I have a brush in my hand now, and I'm starting to develop some of the techniques I need. And I, you know, I've always been a person who got thrown into different situations and just tried to say, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to grow. And I hope I'm doing that. And I hope viewers are enjoying that so far this season. We got a long season to go. A lot of season and a lot of big games.
Yeah. Well, watch out once you start using acrylics, you know, then we're in
good, I know, serious you can't business. Rub it off. It's permanent. Like, you know, TBD, step by step, man, step by step.
Yeah. I love it, man. Well, thank you, Andrew, for your time. Thanks for talking Charlotte FC. Thanks for talking your career and your love of this game. It shines through. Like, the way you love this sport and this league shines through in everything you do, all the content you create, your social media feeds and all of it. So keep it up. We really love we're all blessed as MLS fans to have you as a national commentator, and feel very honored on this show to have you on. So appreciate it, and hope you'll come back sometime.
Man, you're making me blush. Anytime you holler at me, I'll be happy to come on and chat Charlotte. And I got to give you props as well, Danny, because I love the integration of the highlights. I love the sound drops from Dean. You're throwing in some graphics packs. Like, you know, you're the Charlotte Soccer. You guys got a production level that's above and beyond the norm. So be proud of that, man.
I'm happy to hear. We don't fuck around on this show. So I really appreciate it, Andrew. Thank you so much. How about you? I'll ask you to send us out. Our catchphrase is Charlotte FC. It's for the crown, baby. You got to hit the baby.
Okay.
And I would love you to send us out.
For the crown, baby.